And this week, because it wasn't a church council decision, it was a Bible study decision to move it over to Terry and Nora Lee's house. But this week, we decided we're going to bring it back to the church, and we're going to move it to its normal time of 6 in anticipation of hopefully the choir getting back together for choir practice Wednesday nights at 5. So once we know that choir practice is back on, Clayton will contact everybody in the choir and let everybody know what they need to know as far as that's concerned. So hopefully next week we'll have at least some of our sanctions lifted. Like I say, the bishop has left it up to us. And so church council will decide how we want to move forward from here, what we want to keep, what we want to get rid of, all that kind of stuff. So that's your one announcement. And then, of course, as I say, Bible study will be at 6 o'clock, and it will be here on Wednesday. And then I think that's all the main stuff. The one thing that I can now tell everybody is that they are moving me. They're moving me to a church in Clinton, to St. Mark's United Methodist in Clinton. And I will be there July 1st, will be my first day officially of being pastor there. So I'll be pastor here until the end of June. My last Sunday preaching will be June 13th, and then I'll have somebody fill in. Clayton doesn't know it, but I've decided he's going to be the one to fill in for me. So y'all look forward to that. Make sure you videotape it and record it and all that so we can all enjoy it together. So you got plenty of time to get prepared, Clayton. but in all seriousness, I will certainly miss all of you. But we don't have to say goodbye yet. We still have about a month and a half left. And the new pastor, who will also still be pastoring Chevrant, is actually, from what I understand, an old pastor of y'all's, David Lord. So from what I understand, David is going to be coming back to be part-time pastor here. And that's all I really know at this point. PPR can share information, and Christy is currently our PPR chair, but she's not here today. So obviously she can't share anything with us, but she is allowed now to share any information that obviously isn't, I hate to say classified because that's a terrible word, but that isn't private, I guess, is the best way of saying that. So any questions or anything like that, feel free to contact Christy. But don't inundate her because she doesn't know everything either. I hate to begin our worship service with that, but there's no other place to put it in the worship service. But as I told them at Chevrant, it's not about me and it's not about any of us. It's about Jesus. And so let's focus today on worshiping our Lord and Savior as we begin our worship service with the chiming of the hour. Thank you. As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn, number 567, if you happen to have a United Methodist hymnal. And we're going to sing Heralds of Christ and all three verses. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, number 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. Morgan came up to me before service to ask for prayers for, I guess you would call him an adoptive son of yours. Is that? It's a friend's son that Morgan kind of sees as an adopted child. His name is Raymond Ray Leek, and they think he may have had a heart attack. He's in the hospital, so I'm guessing that he'll be there for a little bit for recovery, that kind of stuff, and they'll have to determine if they need to do any type of surgeries or anything like that. So just keep them in your prayers, if you will. Clayton's friend David is... He should be out of the detox portion, right? Okay, so he's come out of the detox portion of his treatment and moved into the main part of the treatment facility. He'll be there for about 30 days, initially at least, right? And so just keep him in your prayers. The good news is he's in West Palm Beach. The bad news is, well, it's good news, I mean, but he's in recovery, so he's in West Palm Beach, but he can't fully enjoy West Palm Beach. But that's okay, because recovery is important. He has all of his life to enjoy West Palm Beach, and so we pray for him to learn the things he needs to learn about sobriety and staying clean. And also keep Clayton in your prayers, because Clayton is still his only form of contact, right? So keep Clayton in your prayers, just because if you've ever had someone that you care about in recovery, it's difficult. And if you're their only contact to the outside world, it's very difficult, because you're the one who has to take care of the things that need to be taken care of. So keep Clayton in your prayers as well, if you will. Does anyone have any requests or praises? Yes, ma'am.
My brother
Stephen had a stroke this week. He's only 61, but it's still touching up. So okay, we will. Does anyone else have any? Yes, ma'am. Shirley? Okay. That reminded me, my friend Josh, we've been praying for his mom. From what I understand, this month will be her last treatment month. And so once that's done with, they'll, you know, reassess and hopefully have good news. The particular cancer that she has about an 85 or so percent survival rate. So it's a good survival rate, but Josh he's just one of those people that he sees the 15%. So keep Dee, his mother, in your prayers, but also keep Josh in your prayers, if you will, so that he can kind of get through this and remain positive for his mom's sake as well as his own. Okay. All right. Liliana had a prayer request. What's your prayer request, sweetheart? I love you too. That's the best prayer request, I think, personally. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share with us? All right, well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. We have many prayer requests today, Lord, for Ray and for his recovery, for Stephen and Shirley for their recovery. We pray for them and for Dee as well, that the doctors that are treating them would be able to determine the best course of action and would be able to treat them effectively. And ultimately, Lord, we pray that you would provide them healing, comfort, and strength. We also want to keep Marianne and Alan in our prayers, Lord, for Marianne's continuing health issues and Alan's biopsy that he is going to have done. We pray that you would be in those situations, that you provide comfort and strength and healing for them. Lord, we pray that in all things, we would follow Christ, we would imitate Christ, knowing that when we do fail, Christ still loves us and still teaches us how to be better. As we go forth in our worship service, may we be reminded worship is about Him and none other. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we pray together the words that our Lord taught His disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our next hymn, number 428, if you happen to have a United Methodist hymnal, For the Healing of the Nations, and first and last verses, correct? All right. So please stand as you're able as we sing this hymn together. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we like to say a prayer over our tithes and offerings. And just as a reminder, you can give at the basket here or the one at the narthex. You can also give online on both of our Facebook pages. And you can drop your gift off. I'm planning on being here now that the bishop has lifted restrictions. I'm planning on being here on Tuesday, Wednesday, and probably Friday. Definitely Tuesday and Wednesday, though. So I'll be here from about 10 in the morning to about 5 in the evening if I don't have meetings and that type of stuff. So you're welcome to come by and drop it off with me or with Wanda. And you can also mail it in or drop it in the mailbox. The mailbox is secure. However you choose to give, we pray that you would follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit in all things. Let's say a blessing over our tithes and offerings at this time. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded as always, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, may all come to know Christ, for it is in His name that we pray. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Luke writes, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. On his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' He gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. In Bible study, we've talked about one of the things that you do whenever you read Scripture is keep in mind that when Scripture was written, paper was expensive. Nowadays, we can go down to Walmart and say, "Well, I need some more paper," and buy it, and then forget where we put it and go next week and buy some more and then find the one that we found in the first place. You know, paper is plentiful. And even if we don't have paper, the vast majority of us have computers of some sort, even if it's our phone, that we can type things out, right? We don't need paper. So we take it for granted. It's always there, right? But back in biblical times, from the writing of Genesis through the writing of all of the New Testament, paper wasn't easy to come by. Various areas used various means of making paper. In the area of Egypt and Israel and such as that, the primary thing that they used was papyrus, which is a sort of a water reed, and they would make paper out of it. But, you know, other places would use other things, and some places would just use stone. You can imagine how hard it would be to write a book in stone, right? So for something to be written down, it had to be important. There had to be a reason why it was included. That's why when we read the Gospel of Mark, you'll notice in the Gospel of Mark, Mark is always doing something, right? He uses words like suddenly, immediately, to give you this sense of urgency. Mark is the shortest gospel, and his whole point is, listen, I'm going to tell you the bare bones minimum, because that's all I've got time for, and that's all I've got paper for. Paper was so precious. If you look at ancient manuscripts that we have, you know how in school your teacher would fuss at you for not putting enough space between your words and all? Your teacher would have a fit if you did like they did. It's all crammed together as close as possible. A lot of times it's small, very small. There's no punctuation. And guess what? On the backside, there might be something completely different. When I was learning about these, it made me think of this great story with my grandfather. My grandfather loves music. And at one time, he had who knows how many records and CDs and tapes and 8-tracks and, you know, all. I mean, he just had piles of it. And when I was a little bit younger, he would transfer, his hobby, if you will, was to transfer all of these things to tape. He graduated to CDs once they brought out CD burners and stuff like that. But for a while, he would translate these things from record or 8-track or whatever to tape. And my dad always hated getting these tapes from my granddad, because my granddad was insistent that you have this tape that he made for you. But what would happen was, on the tape, you would be listening to a song. And the song would be going along, and we'll just, since my granddad really loved old country, a lot of times it was Hank Williams Sr., right? So it would go, "Your cheating heart, 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 will tell on you," right? But then it might go like this. "You're cheating," click. Well, it must continue on the other side, right? Flip on the other side and here's Patsy Cline, right? Walking After Midnight, you know? And you're like, where'd Hank go, right? That's how these papyri were, because my granddad's were that way because he wasn't paying attention. He probably fell asleep in the middle of recording or something. But these papyri were like that because they had to write it. And the Jewish people especially, a huge part of their theology was writing. Right? We see it all throughout Scripture. The Word of God. Jesus is the Word. God spoke into creation. Words are important. So we read in Acts this huge second part of this grand opus that Luke wrote, beginning with the Gospel of Luke, ending with the book of Acts, and we say, okay, so Luke had a little more access to paper, obviously, but he still had paper at a premium. Why did he include this story about the Ethiopian eunuch? I mean, you know, Ethiopia is still around, but let's be honest, Ethiopia has never really been that important in world history, right? In fact, most of us, the only thing we know about Ethiopia is either that they've had problems with hunger, or we watched Black Hawk Down. Those are the two things we think of when we think of Ethiopia, most likely. And that's kind of how Ethiopia was at this time, too. It was a little more important, but not that much more important. So why include this? What's the point? Well, one point is that the Ethiopian church is one of the oldest churches that there is. And they have one of the oldest groupings of scripture that we know of. They've had what we call the canon of New Testament and Old Testament scripture longer officially than just about any other group. So, you know, that's important. They date the church back to this particular man who was converted, and that's important. But I think that the primary reason is because Luke wants us to understand in Christ all are equal. See, this man was an Ethiopian, so he wasn't a Jew. But, you know, we've kind of established a little bit, you know, that the Jews are important, but Jesus wanted to, the gospel preached to the Gentiles too, and we've started to see in the book of Acts that the Gentiles are starting to kind of come around and this kind of stuff. What's more important and something we miss is that this man was a eunuch. According to the law of Moses, he was unclean forever. That meant he couldn't fully worship God. He wasn't allowed into obviously the Holy of Holies, because only the high priest was allowed in there, but he wasn't allowed into the inner court of the temple. He was unclean, and he couldn't do anything about it. Because the law of Moses said, specifically, that anyone like him is unclean. And yet one of the first conversions of Christianity is this Ethiopian eunuch. In our day and age, we talk a lot about inclusion, and I think that sometimes when we talk about inclusion, we go too far. We include everything, but I don't think that's what inclusion is. What I mean by that is this. Everybody remembers the food guide pyramid, right? You probably see it on certain products. Some of us may remember it from school and stuff like that. The food guide pyramid, it breaks down all foods, and it says, you know, the stuff at the top of the pyramid you can eat, but eat it sparingly. The stuff at the bottom of the pyramid, have fun, right? The problem is that the stuff at the top of the pyramid is the good stuff, and the stuff at the bottom of the pyramid is the stuff that you know, oh, I'm so full, I guess I better throw it away. And then, oh, I wonder if there's any cookies in the cabinet over here. You know, that, I mean, let's be honest, that's what we do with it, right? But that's not what its intention is. The intention of the food guide pyramid is to show us that all food can be enjoyed. Just remember, some of it is enjoyed more sparingly than others, right? But you know what's not in the food guide pyramid? Arsenic's not in the food guide pyramid, right? Arsenic's not there. We know that some people have cooked things for their husbands with arsenic, but we won't go into that. We don't want to give anybody any ideas. But it's not there. You won't find it. Hydrochloric acid isn't in the food guide pyramid. Bleach isn't in the food guide pyramid. You can ingest all of these things, right? It's not like you go to pour it in your mouth. Your mouth is like, oh, nope, sorry. Nope, not coming in here, right? Hopefully your gag reflex will at least tell you, hey, this is probably a bad idea. But, you know, you can take these things into you. And they will, at the very least, make you sick. When I worked in recovery with teenagers, one of their favorite arguments for why it was okay to smoke marijuana is, well, it's natural, God made it. Well, yeah. I'd always make them mad because I said, well, God made rattlesnake venom too, but you don't drink it, right? I'm not saying you shouldn't or you should. I'm saying that that's a bad argument. Not everything that God made, not everything that's natural, is beneficial. But when Scripture talks about inclusion, what Scripture does is it reminds us the grace of God extends to all. The grace of God makes us equal. When we become Christians, we call people our brothers and our sisters who we may have never called our brothers and our sisters before. The important that we understand how revolutionary an Ethiopian eunuch being baptized is. Because baptism comes from the ritual baths that Jewish people would take to make themselves ceremonially clean. That's where it comes from. It took on a meaning of being, you know, dying with Christ when you go down, resurrected when you come back up, or if you're a good Methodist, you just throw a little bit of water on it and it cleanses everything, right? Now, we Methodists, we do it any way you want to. But our Catholic brothers and sisters, they prefer sprinkling. But that's because they mainly do child baptism, and we do child baptism too. So, but that's where it comes from. It comes from making oneself ceremonially clean so that you can enter the temple. The Ethiopian eunuch can never become ceremonially clean. But in Christ, all are clean who believe in him. That doesn't mean there's no such thing as sin. That doesn't mean that we pretend like sin doesn't exist. What it means is that we understand this. If I have a problem with overeating, and another Christian has a problem with profanity, and another Christian has what we would call a severe sin problem, right? Breaking those commandments, those Ten Commandments or something like that. Christ makes us clean. You, me, all of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as we prepare to celebrate Holy Communion, let us be reminded, all who call upon the name of Christ will be saved. We're all Ethiopian eunuchs in some way. But in Christ, we are restored and made whole. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to remember Christ has cleansed us. Therefore, we are clean. And even when we wallow in the dirt again, Christ has still cleansed us and will remake us clean. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Now, hopefully you got one of our fancy cups here for communion. If you don't, then I'm going to volunteer Nancy to go get it because Nancy's my favorite person to volunteer. So if anybody doesn't have one, if you want to raise your hand, Nancy can get you one. But I think we all have it. So let's begin. Do you have it back there, Richard? There we are. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." Let us partake of the body of Christ together. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the cup of Christ. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together the words the Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And taking them, may you give them to all whom you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.
Okay.